Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Today, as my co-adventure guide, we have John Heinen. He is a professional trumpet player. We're going to talk about when the trumpets sound in heaven. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak coming to you from Waikiki Beach. I wish I could open up my window here and show you the beautiful blue surf outside my window. But more importantly, just below me, actually directly below me, 25 stories below me, is the altar just to the side of us for St. Augustine's Catholic Church. So it's really a beautiful place to have a home and to know that Jesus is right here with us. You know, I was thinking about, we have our guest today, John Heinen, who is a professional trumpet player. And I was thinking about the walls of Jericho, what a gnarly thing that was. I've been to Jericho. It was, in ancient history, it's the first walled city that we know of. And that's the one God told them to attack first, right? That's the one God told them to go after. Joshua, who was their new commander, God said, I will show them today that I am with you. And they crossed the Jordan River at flood stage, went to the walls of Jericho. Remember, the generation before this generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they doubted. They saw how great the promised land was, but even though God was able to free them from the Pharaoh and cross the Red Sea, they doubted that they could take the land because there were giants in the land. But God established Joshua as their leader, and now this is their first chance to really see him in action. They've been fighting off the Amorites, the Amalekites, the Muscovites, all that out there in the wilderness for 40 years. But now they were going to be on the offensive. And they cross the Jordan River. And where do they go? He takes them to Jericho. Are you like, are you serious? It would be like a high school team that's having their first scrimmaging against the New England Patriots or something. You know, this is their first time to take a city, to have any sort of siege. And so God said, I got a good idea for you guys. Why don't you guys just march around the city of Jericho one time a day for 6 days in a row. And then on the seventh day, he had them walk around seven times. But the key thing is the whole time, that whole week, they were told, don't speak. Don't say a single word. Because what did their parents do? Their parents murmured and grumbled and complained and they had doubt. So he just said, don't even talk. Watch and see what I'll do. On the seventh time around, he had them sound the trumpet and scream and roar, and at the sound of God's voice, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. We need in this day trumpet players. We need in this day people that will shout the good news. This isn't a time to be silent. You know, Cardinal Serra wrote the book about the time of silence, but his newest book says, it's not time to be silent anymore. We need to speak boldly the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to stand out boldly against the darkness. And I'll tell you what, God knows how to bring light. Remember a couple battles later that Joshua was involved when the sun stood still in the sky for about a half a day so they could finish their battle. The sun's going to shine bright on us. We need to be bold, shout, and let the trumpet of the Lord be heard. John Heinen, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, Bear. Excited, blessed to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we love John. John actually helps us he's with Fusati. They actually help us with all of our social media. And what a blessing to see excellence at work in every, you know, taking our spiritual excellence and applying it to our regular work is just beautiful. And John has always been really, the reason why I have you on my show, John, is because I've gotten to know you. I know your own personal commitment to Jesus Christ, to the church, to your family. And one of the ways you can tell someone is excellent is just by their work ethic, their work ethic, that they apply themselves and are good stewards to the kuleana that God's given them. So welcome to the show, John.
Hey, excited to be here. You know, so you were bringing up the walls of Jericho, and there's like a modern Jericho that here in Houston we've been able to, we pray, you know, for the end of, and obviously that's not to jump this dark real quick, but Planned Parenthood, right? We have the largest Planned Parenthood facility here in Houston. And every year I've been blessed we do a Jericho march around the Planned Parenthood, and hundreds of youth come out every year. We have a procession of the crucifix, you know, a huge crucifix, procession of Our Lady of Fatima, and I hold my trumpet. And basically every time around, I blow a horn sound, you know.
How long does it take to make one circuit around that building?
It's huge. Good question.
Can't you see it from the freeway? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, right off of 45. Yeah. Yep, it's heading south on 45. It's right on the right. It's a little Satan's Palace. And it takes a while, actually. I mean, I would say I stand there for a good 10 to 15 minutes in between playing, and then they just pray the rosary, and then they do some worship music, and then they pray the rosary, and just, you know, every time around they pause when I play a fanfare, and then go back at the rosary procession. So it's real beautiful, and it's a great thing to be involved in here.
You know, it's spiritual warfare, and you're calling on, we're calling on the angels to fight that fight for us and with us. But that's just, it's just really stark to drive by, ride that. We rode our motorcycles by there. We went to the Catholic Charismatic Center in Houston with Father Mark Goring. And I don't know if people saw episode 2 or 3, we marched down to where there were 5 brothels. And that church does that every month. And we marched with them. So here are these big bikers, right, walking with these people. And we got down to these brothels, and we said a decade of the rosary in front of each of these 5 brothels. And it was pretty gnarly. I know at one point one of the main guys, one of the pimps, kind of showed up, and then he called in an enforcer. And I was concerned for the safety of Father Mark's people. But I think they were kind of alarmed, too, because they saw these bikers. You know, bikers kind of have this bad reputation. But it was interesting because as we continued our walk, it ended. And the road that they're on, the cross street, is Roe, R-O-E. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
but at one point, one woman kind of stuck her head out the door and waved and then was pulled back in. But I know now that I think 2 or 3 of those brothels have shut down.
So, wow, praise God.
Yeah, so the prayer is the only way that's going to end.
That's right. No, I completely agree. And that charismatic, you were right there. The Charismatic Catholic Center is exactly where we meet. And then everyone marches over. It's a good, 25, 30 minute walk to the Planned Parenthood Center from there. And then we start the procession. So yeah, you were in the heart of it right there.
I admire all of those who have a discipline of going and praying in front of those abortion centers.
Where amen.
They're killing babies. And now they're killing babies as they exit the womb.
I know.
And it's just so interesting how people will, you know, rationalize that and make excuses. But here's the thing, John, a lot of people have an opinion about, a lot of people say they're pro-life.
Yeah.
but they don't do anything. That doesn't mean you're pro-life. Right. That means you have an opinion, right? Yeah. And you can talk about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to do something about it and show up at the rallies and pray and do what you can. And it would be a travesty to ever vote for anyone that's pro-abortion.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page, obviously. And I couldn't agree with you more. And I would say that you're spot on. And actually what you were saying at the very beginning of this this conversation here was we have to be bold. We have to step out in the light. And it is. We are in an age that everyone is being bombarded in the media. Everyone is being bombarded on social media. Everyone has the ultimate opinion. I was reading a quote the other day that Pope Benedict XVI, Emeritus Benedict XVI said about how we have no troubles giving infallibility to anybody on social media or anybody in the realm of
any scientist. Right.
Exactly. They're all experts without question. And yet we struggle with the authority of the church, you know?
Oh my God. I've never thought of that, John. Say that again.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
Yes. Yeah, I should find the quote, but basically, you know, Benedict XVI, actually, when he was Joseph Ratzinger, obviously, when he said this, but he just said that we have no trouble today giving infallibility to, you know, any scientist, any speaker with the mic, but we struggle with the authority of the church. We struggle with the infallibility of the Pope, which is a very, you know, small but important distinction within the Catholic Church. And I mean, I've helped a number of people. The Holy Spirit's, you know, obviously used me to help bring people into the faith. And that authority button is truly, you know, what it's like a house of cards, right? When somebody accepts the authority of the church as that which, you know, was given, you know, through the power of the magisterium, the authority to form scripture, to, you know, to declare what was the word of God. When somebody accepts that, everything else falls. It's like, you know, I might not understand Our Lady, but hey, if the church has told us about her, you know, I'm going to be open to the possibility of these teachings.
That's so powerful, because Jesus, it was a builder, right? Technon, he was a builder. The only thing we know that he built for church is the church, is the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the great builder knows how to build his church, and there needs to be an authority structure. And I think so many people, that's their stumbling block about coming to the church, but it actually becomes the doorway, because they begin to see, well, this pastor said this and this radio show said that, and it's my opinion that it's this, and this my friend's opinion is that. And then it gets down to, well, who is the arbiter of what scripture means, or what the doctrine and moral teaching is. And they realize they need a church teaching authority. We're talking with John Heinen. He's a professional trumpet player, father, and we're going to come back to him, talk a little bit more about his personal faith journey. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak, or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link, and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to invite the women to to become involved in our ministry. Actually, when I travel, wherever we, Cindy and I go, the women come up and are so thrilled about our ministry. Like, thank you. There's someone who can talk to our men in their language, you know, in a real gritty, real truthful way. And we're just so thrilled. So we have, of course, the men love our ministry, but it's the women that are just so, I don't know, at a very visceral level saying, we need this ministry. And we want to invite you women. You don't have to be on the sidelines. You can come and be part of our ministry. You can go to our website, deepadventure.com. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you get a free audio book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. And there's other ways that you can participate with us too. Get our newsletter, share it with your brothers, share it with your husband, your sons. And also you can encourage them to join Bear's Man Cave. It's the coolest thing. It's a private Facebook group, so you can't join by going to Facebook. But when you can sponsor one of your men into the man cave, and there you're going to find a bunch of misfit men who are all kind of struggling with the same thing on a path to becoming a warrior for God and on a path for personal holiness. And I think of us as the Cave of Adullam, where King David's, had to hide out from King Saul. And it says all the misfits and the people owed money and people that were on the run kind of gathered to him. And he made that scraggly bunch. The Holy Spirit made them into a mighty warrior, a band of warriors. So together, all this band of misfits, we are establishing each other in the faith, inspiring, encouraging. If you think you're perfect, don't join, because it's just the knuckle draggers that are allowed to join. But women, we want your participation in our ministry. You are our biggest fans, but we want you to know you can be a part of it by getting the newsletter, getting the men into the man cave, and becoming a bigger part of what we do. We're talking with John Heinen. John is actually with a company called Fuzati. He does all of our social media for us. But the reason I have him on my show is because over the time that I've gotten to know him, I've actually seen him go through some personal, real, real challenges, and have seen that he is a man of faith. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper. Can we backtrack now? We know you're a professional trumpet player. You've played at the Olympics. You've traveled around the world playing the trumpet, but you also are a trumpet for the Lord. Talk to us about your path, your spiritual pedagogy, your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. And so my spiritual faith has grown, but I mean, I was always cradle Catholic. So I
always,
grew up,
always cradle Catholic.
Sorry.
Still?
I was a heathen.
You're getting kind of big. You're getting too big to be in a cradle, John.
that's right. And I was also a pagan when I was born until I got baptized.
Horrible 7 days.
And so anyway, so yeah, since I've been baptized a Catholic, and my parents did a great job, bringing me to church school and Sunday Mass on Sundays. And so I was very blessed with that, but I really didn't start jumping into my faith until college, right? I think that's very common for a lot of people. When I was in college, it was to win arguments, right? And so I got into apologetics because I just wanted to beat people. That people were questioning me. I went to TCU, right? I know it's not Baylor. It's better than Baylor. So
now, wait. Let's just stop the broadcast right there. Hey, Josh, we should just end it right here because TCU and Baylor, arch enemies, huh?
That's right. The revivalry. Yeah, absolutely. So 100 and some years, right?
This is being aired, John. Football season will be on, hopefully.
Awesome.
While this is being aired, we're probably getting ready for the big game. But we've had some really big shootouts, haven't we, in the last decade between TCU and Baylor.
Absolutely. So, joining the Big 12 and fighting it out.
We've been playing TCU though forever before, back in the Southwest Conference days. So there's
back in the early 1900s when you guys burned down our administration building in Waco and kicked us out of Waco and we had to go to Fort Worth.
That's just a vicious rumor.
It's so funny though, because TCU, they tell you that.
I've never heard that in my life.
So we go on the walk at TCU and they show you, TCU founded in 1800s, late 1800s, but it was founded in Waco and Ayn Rand and all of that. And they're like, we were in Waco and TCU was in Waco. And then
what do you mean Ayn Rand and all of that? What's that about?
Sorry, just who had the founders and the whole history?
Oh, Ayn Rand was one of the founders. Ayn Rand was one of the founders? Oh my gosh, okay.
And basically, they connect you with all of that, the whole history, and it's all very, you know, confusing. And then, you know, they of course tell you that we're more Texas than we are Christian, whatever that means.
Well, can we say this though to each other? Do we both hate Texas more than we hate each other? University of Texas?
Yeah, absolutely. And we can find our common ground, you know, at home in the church.
I was actually on a EWTN event in Alabama, right? All the Catholic radio stations were there.
Yeah.
And I was talking to this one guy, and he's a Texas Aggie, and I hate the Aggies. Just hate the Aggies. I don't even know why they exist. Horrible people, you know. Just, and so he and I are having this kind of fun little time together, and how we hate each other. And then we get on the elevator, and there's a dude there wearing a University of Texas shirt.
Sure.
And suddenly, the Aggie and I were best friends, going after him. But I'll tell you, the thing about the Aggies is they, you know, we might have burned down your administration building, but what could be worse? When I was going to college, the Aggies kidnapped Bevo, their big longhorn.
Yeah,
and they invited the trustees and the administration to a big barbecue, and they fed them Bevo. They fed them their mascot.
That was bad. Oh my goodness, bongos. I hadn't heard that.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's for those of you who are big SEC fans, you haven't seen anything until you come to the Southwest Conference and the Big 12. Okay, so anyway, we diverge. We have a common ground in the faith. Okay.
That's right. And by the way, in the faith, right? Because TCU was not friendly to Catholics. There was a good Catholic community center for sure, but I was being attacked for my faith right and left. And in my pride, I definitely wasn't looking to convert people. I was just looking to win arguments. And so I fell in love with apologetics.
John. That's good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the early heresies attacked the early church, and we had to strengthen our understanding of our faith. So
it drove you deeper. It sure did, without a doubt. And I mean, flash forward, and I've got daily rosary, you know, I mean, a consecrated to Our Lady, you know, through St. Ida Montfort.
I was seeing your ring.
I'll put it up to the camera here. So, yeah, so it's a miraculous medal, but then I've got Totus Tuus, you know, totally yours, on this side with the JP2 Marian cross. And then on this side, I've got the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Praise
and
God.
I had it made in such a way that it's kind of hard to see, but you can see that I can see the backside of the miraculous medal on my ring as well.
So you had that custom made. That's cool.
I did. I had that custom made. So yeah, I had a miraculous medal custom made. So from not really understanding my faith, going to mass on Sundays out of obligation to being challenged in college. And so then I did.
How did you go deeper into your apologetics? For those who are listening, maybe they're on college campus right now. What books did you read, or how did you go deeper into that arena?
Yeah. So Jim Burnham's, his Beginning Apologetics, I bought all of those. Mm. And then I bought Carl Keating's, it's Fundamentalism, you know, and it's his argument against fundamentalism. Then I got into Peter Kraft.
Last night I had I introduced my son Jeremiah to Dr. Peter Kraft. You're watching him on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah, I love him. Oh, I love him.
You know,
just the fact that he's a surfer, right, is enough.
That's right. And a walking saint, honestly. I mean, he really is. And
I'll tell you, last night I listened to his Thomas Aquinas series that he has on Audible. I listened to that to go to sleep, but I'm in the middle of my dreams going, oh, this is so awesome. Cool.
Awesome.
I had my headset on. I was listening to it.
I love it. We both had our adventure for sure. And so, I did. I got into that. I was reading it. I was getting into arguments, and God blessed me with a TOR, Franciscan TOR, and his name was
What is that? You got to explain for
Absolutely. Thank you. So TOR is a third order regular, but it is a branch within the Franciscans. And so there's the they're the ones that actually run Franciscan University in Steubenville and St. Francis University and I think Loretto, Pennsylvania.
But is third order, like my mom was a third order Franciscan. Is that the same one? I don't know about regular.
So it's how it started. Exactly. Mm. So it started as lay individuals I don't want to say the OFMs, the Order of Friar Minors, but it might have been. They wanted to start lay individuals devoting their lives and taking their lives, their call in the mode of St. Francis. And then they wanted to start becoming priests. And out of that, you know, decades and centuries.
Praise God. And praise God for Franciscan. I've been pursuing my master's degree there, although very, very slowly. Got so much on my plate.
Good for you, though.
But I love Franciscan University. We're talking with John Heinen. He's a beautiful Catholic. He loves his Lord. He loves the church. He loves his family. We're going to dig deeper into his personal walk with the Lord. And he said he was going to actually confess his mortal sins to us today later on. So. But actually, no, we're talking with John Heinen. This is the Bear Wasnick. He doesn't have any, so...
That's anyway, right. This is the Bear Wasnick. Went to confession on Sunday. I'm good.
Yeah, once we were doing a recording of a retreat, and we had the men had a chance to go to confession. One of the men left his microphone on when he went into the confessional, the tent. And when he came out, we told him we had it all recorded, and he would just, he blasphemed right there. Even though we hadn't recorded, he had to go back and go to confession. Okay, this is the Bear Wasnick Convention. We'll be right back. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wasnick Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wasnick Adventure possible. Aloha, this is the Bear Wasnick Adventure. We want to invite everyone to go to our website, deepadventure.com. The biggest problem is John Heinen is on the show with us. He's our social media, one of our social media contacts at Fuzati, who helps us with all of that. He says you got too much on your website. People don't even know what to do. You got so much going on there. And it's true. If you haven't been to our website lately, you're really missing out. Go visit us at deepadventure.com. Become a part of our outreach. We'd love to have you join us. We're talking with John Heinen, who is a professional trumpet player. We're not going to hold against him that he went to TCU, which is the arch rival of Baylor, and he's a father. But I want to talk to you a little bit about your time, John. When you were in college, I remember for me, I had my deep conversion experience when I was in college. And I felt bad for anybody, looking back, anybody that was sitting in the school cafeteria alone, I was going to sit with them. And I just, even though it was a Baptist university, a lot of the people there didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I had just experienced the great infusion of the Holy Spirit through the Catholic charismatic renewal.
Yeah.
And I thought, if anybody in the world knew that they could experience Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, the creator of the universe, you could actually get to get on the other side of the sky and get to know him and experience him, they would want to know. I mean, I just assumed that. Mm-hmm. And so they would sit down with me, and it wasn't so much that I was an apologist, not at all. I was a witness. I just was overflowing with, you got to meet Jesus, you know? And you were in college, and you have the experience, because the Holy Spirit affects everybody in different ways. You were being challenged at an apologetical level. And so you had to grab your books and start studying. The reason why I know so much about the reasons for the existence of God is my best friend here on the island is an evangelistic atheist. And so because of his challenge, I had to start reading Peter Kraft and all those other great writings. Scott Hahn has a book out on and others. But I would like to hear, before we go to the next subject, what were the two or three main things that they challenged you on about your Catholic faith that you had to have dialogue with them about, that you got to have dialogue with them about?
Yeah, the first one was confession, and it's different roads for everyone. And I wouldn't have expected that confession would have been the one, but it was. I used to go to confession almost once a month, once every other month, and my undergrad, and then I used to go weekly in my master's degree.
Because you sinned more? Did you sin more?
I fell in love with confession. My passion for confession just grew. And stories there.
I want to hear a story about that. That I hear so many people say that their walk with the Lord got deeper because, or their conversion was in a confessional.
It's right, absolutely. And I met the best man in my wedding, who was the best man in my wedding, in the confessional line at St. Mary's in New Haven, Connecticut.
You went to Yale too.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to that pizza? That the original pizza place in the United States is there, right?
I did, yes. And
what's it called?
Louis
what's
Lunch, that? Which is, so there's Pepe's and Pepe's. There's Frank Pepe's and Pepe's A Pizza. And there's Louis Lunch, which is claims the original hamburger ever made.
So somewhere between pizzas, though, you met your best man in line at a confessional. Right. Why, what was drawing you? What was drawing you to confession?
So I was always drawn to confession because of the psychological release, the joy that I experienced within going to confession. And I did. I had grown. I mean, it wasn't like this in my youth, in my undergrad. And when I was at master's, I was living by myself. I had a great experience at Yale, but it is secular through and through. Atheism, rampant, and militistic, you know, military.
Militant.
Militant atheism. Thank you. That's exactly right. And I was just being attacked by atheists and just the sheer thought that I would believe in God. And that got my emotions all worked up on a regular basis. And so I would run to daily mass. And so I go to daily mass and I was very blessed. The Dominicans there at St. Mary's in New Haven, amazing men, amazing Orthodox men, Father Huvens and Dyer, Father Usenza, you know, these guys helped me so much. And so I'm going to mass and then confession was always offered before and after every mass.
You know, the thing about that is I've seen it shows your determination to get past whatever that was that you were failing. And the fact that you were going monthly and then you started going weekly. And I'll tell you, John, there was a time in my life, we have daily confessions here or at St. Augustine's, at least we did.
Yeah.
And there was one person that was just provoking me like crazy, and I would just bite my tongue and bite my tongue, but I still had a lot of anger, right? I would go to confession every single day. And I know so many men. I think of Eric Wardroom, he's just a great man. He was in prison, and he started the Catholic Crossbearers Motorcycle Ministry. I love this man. Tough, gritty, tough man.
Yeah,
and he was in prison for killing a man, and it was through going through confession. The priest said, "So what have you done?" And he goes, "All of them, Ten Commandments, all of them." But that moment of confession was a moment of incredible conversion, you know. And it's part of our Catholic faith, isn't it? That there's no one that knows Jesus that didn't meet him. They might have had some people are having conversion experiences through a dream or something, I guess, in the Muslim world. But eventually they find their roots by connecting with another Christian. There has to be that person-to-person experience. And when the priest is there in persona Christi. But tell me now, some more about the apology. So you were going to confession, and this was a big problem for your Protestant friends that you went to
That's
confession.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it was a lot of Protestant, it was a lot of Reformed Calvinists there at TCU. So they, you know, they had their pillars of belief and the idea of confessing your sins, not in your room, you know, in prayer, but actually to, you know, a man in persona Christi, the priest, was so foreign to them that they thought I was crazy. And honestly, you know, through apologetics, I would go through scripture, right? Because that's the common ground that we could have, not with the atheist at Yale. That was a totally different ballgame. But with my Protestant brothers, who many are still my close friends, it was a lot of going to scripture. And when they couldn't respond to scripture and the, you know, the importance of confession, they were just, they would leave and they would lose. And I was
like, do you have one example or two examples of that, those scriptures? Are those still close to you? I know it's been a while, so.
Yeah, it has been a while, but no, I mean, I would argue the, you know, binding in heaven and loosing on earth. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when Christ had, you know, risen and went to the apostles, you know, and told them that who sins you, retainer, your binder bound on earth, in those sins who loose, you know, are loosed. In
isn't
heaven.
That amazing? And isn't that amazing?
And right after he was raised, you know, right after his resurrection, that's one of the first things he did, and that was powerful. But actually, getting you bring up a great point. Getting Protestants to our Protestants brothers and sisters to see Scripture in the same way. Scott Hahn has actually done a couple of really great talks on this. You know, the way that we do just opens the mind. And the fact that when I was talking to my Protestant friends and saying, okay, so when Christ came, he breathed life into them. After he rose from the dead, he breathed life into them. Where else in scripture did God ever breathe life into anybody? And they couldn't answer. They couldn't answer.
Genesis.
And we, you know, of course we go to Genesis.
Zoe.
And just that little thing, they were like, how is that important? I'm like, you believe this is the word of God. And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, then all of it is important. And when they kind of came around to that, it opened the door. And I would say, and I just like to end with this when it comes to that, is that God blessed me with that TOR, that priest who became my spiritual director. May he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing man, died when he was 86, Father Theodore Bradauer. Love him, pray for him and pray to him on a regular basis. And he taught me how to love. That is what the apologetics didn't.
He got you past the apologetics into the heart side.
Amen.
You can teach knowledge.
Did.
You can teach knowledge, or you can teach love.
That's right.
You know, or you can do both. But it has to start. It has to start from love.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Charity and truth. And it was because of him and my frequent. I was with him for 3 years. He was my spiritual director. And it was, I didn't even know what a spiritual director was, by the way, in college. I just was in confession with him. And I said, you just said a great book. I can't remember it. Can I see you outside of confession so you can kind of help me through this stuff? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And unbeknownst to me, but God's grace and his providence led me to him as a spiritual director. And all about love.
And so, John, you know, we got so much more we want to talk about. We're going to take a break here in a few moments, but you played the trumpet. I want to talk about your trumpet playing. I want to talk about your wife and the challenges you've had you've had children. You've lost children through miscarriages and things like that. And how you as a leader in your household, how you were helping to hold your whole family together. But the trumpet playing at the Olympics, what was that like? What Olympics was it?
It was
Beijing, right?
Beijing 2008. Yep, Beijing 2008. So it was what they called the Cultural Olympiad for full listeners. Basically, evening performances for people who were going to the Olympics.
Did you ever get to play that one song? I know how to do it, but that one song that they opened the Olympics with?
We do a lot of Olympic fanfares. Yeah. Yeah, we played a lot of Olympic themes. So, but I had a great opportunity over there. I think I mentioned to you that I got a bug bite while I was over there, and it gave me a brain virus, put me into a coma. But my time in Beijing was fun. I had a great time at the Great Wall and playing.
When we come back, we'll talk about that. You actually went into a coma when you got back from the Olympics. You had a brain virus.
That's right.
Never even heard of such a thing. This is Bear Wozniak. We're talking with my friend John Heinen. He and the people at Fusati do our social media, and we're so grateful for what they do, because we're trying to communicate and get the word, the gospel out to people. And they do such a good job of helping us to accomplish that. We want to invite you to go to the YouTube channel, Bear Wozniak, and subscribe, because you may be listening to this on a podcast or on EWTN radio. But if you go to our YouTube channel and press the subscribe button and ring that little bell, you'll be notified whenever we post these. And we post them before they air on the podcast in the EWTN. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. That's right.
Hey man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. we would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua. Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. Today, we have a young man that I've really grown fond of and have a lot of respect for, John Heinen. He's with Fuzati. They help us with all of our social media outreach. But I've just been able to observe him over the time that I've known him go through some real challenges in his life, yeah. With medical issues with one of their children and with a pregnancy. And I began to realize this is just really a man of faith. So I tell people we have the best show in the universe because we have the best guests. So we're glad to have you with us, John. Aloha.
Yeah, glad to be here. So excited.
So tell us a little bit. Then you came back from the Beijing Olympics, and yeah. When did you begin to feel ill?
Yeah, so it was about it takes 10 days or so for what's called a encephalitis or brain virus to affect your brain. And so I was back in the States, praise God, for about a week and a half. And then I started just getting common cold sickness and feelings, and went to the doctor's office a few times, and they just kept on saying, oh, you're fine, just take vitamin C, you know, get plenty of rest. And I lived in a one-bedroom studio apartment, and when Friday I went into a coma, and it was Monday.
Well, who found you?
Yeah, it was actually the security guard at the Catholic Community Center, who was not Catholic but became a close friend of mine. The security guard, it's a longer story, but basically he was connected by my parents, who couldn't get a hold of me. And so he went and had the landlord open the door and found me on the couch, apparently out. And
wow.
He brought me to the hospital, and it was, praise
you
God.
You were in a coma when he brought you to the hospital?
Yeah, 2.5 days. And I was living by myself, and my parents were just checking on me, and they knew I was feeling sick and everything. So they were checking on me, praise God. And so I was out for, over 2.5 days, and then went into the hospital. The only person in the Western world with my documented case of this brain virus, they have no documentation in the Western world of the encephalitis that I had, which gave me lesions and blood clusters on the front left lobe of my brain. Bear, you know, guys, I was like, man, chicks dig scars. And I'm like, I need to get like a picture of my brain because I've got all these lesions and blood clusters on the front left lobe of my brain.
I don't think that's what they're looking for.
And fortunately, I didn't have that, or else maybe I wouldn't be married. So, so that was a brief experience. The doctors there fed me basically intravenously and gave me tons of antibiotics. And,
I'm sorry. I'm thinking it makes you feel vulnerable, right? Because you're a young man and you're like, I'm strong and vibrant. And all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I've been taking all this for granted.
That's right. Yeah, hospital for 12 days. I mean, it was shocking. I was again, very blessed with the people around me, you know, and I was living in New Haven and my family's in Texas. So I woke up Tuesday morning. I won't ever forget. I woke up Tuesday morning in the neuro ICU there at Yale New Haven Hospital. And my parents were wearing masks in front of me.
And you're like, dude, what's going on? You didn't know if you had woken up yet. It's like, this is a
bad
dream.
That's right. I was shocked. So, but God led me through that too. And my prayer life and my spiritual life was real strong, or at least growing in that.
Well,
strength,
I find so. Like, I mean, I got to tell you, I just went through prostate cancer radiation. You're one of the few people that know that. I found myself beginning to talk about it more publicly now, but I went from being this really powerful, strong guy to like my poor wife, what I put her through, going through the radiation. But I want to tell you, when I went through that season, my prayer life really suffered.
Yeah.
And I really had to, I had only maybe 10 people knew that I was going through that. Yeah. But I relied on it was their prayers during that season. Yeah. 'Cause I wanted to say I'm suffering for you, Jesus. And I kind of did, but it was other people's prayers that carried me through. But now tell us this. And I want to thank thank the Lord for healing me. I'm in Hawaii. I'm in my fourth month of recovery now, and I'm
praise God.
I'm battling to get back into physical shape.
Yeah, right.
I'm adding a lot of weight because I lost so much muscle. So I'm getting my muscle back.
For sure.
But I wanted to ask you, and we are running out of time. We've got about 8 minutes left. Yeah. Your wife and your children, and I know you've had some miscarriages. I've experienced that. And I love how when you share how many children you have, how is it that you share that?
I always say I have 9 kids. I have 5 with me and 4 already entrusted to the infinite love and mercy of God. Mm-hmm. And so,
so you have 9 children. It's so beautiful to say it there. I have 6 children, 2 that are in heaven. Yeah. Because of the miscarriage. Yeah,
absolutely. And it was, and you brought up the father unit and, you know, we live in a fatherless society and we're, you know, and Satan is attacking the father so much. And I love talking about this because, you know, I've got good friends like Devin Shaw, you know, you've met him, with his, father ministry and everything.
Yes.
Father St. Joseph. And he's, you know, we've had great conversations together about this and how Satan's attacking the father, you know, is it because he can break down the family unit. And to what you're saying, though, with all the miscarriages I had, it was hard. It was really hard. And to the point where on the 4th child that we lost, I was growing real numb.
Had you had a child come full term yet, be born?
So we had 2 miscarriages, and then we had Gemma, who's with us, who's my first born daughter. And she is with us, Gemma Catherine Heinen. And then we had 2 more miscarriages. And, you know, it was kind of, they're all miracles, but it was amazing to have Gemma. But then every time we got pregnant, we were super excited. And then when we lost them, I got numb. It was, you know, I definitely got numb.
And your wife, how was your wife and all that?
It was hard. It was very hard. A lot of depression and a lot of anxiety. And so it was others' prayers. I like what you said. It was others' prayers that were helping us. I was begging other people for praying to pray for us because I felt the darkness and kind of the, you know, just screw it all sort of mentality, right? You know, that was overwhelming me. And
you had 2 miscarriages and then the baby and then 2 more.
And then 2 more. That's right. And I'd like to say this too, it's really important. If you don't know about NAPRO technology, you know, men need to know about this. Ladies need to know about this. We know devout Catholics that have never heard about it, but NAPRO technology is natural procreative technology. They're in Omaha, Nebraska, with Dr. Hilgers. And
they're wonderful. Wonderful. And what happened? You went to them and they helped you with.
Yeah. So we went to them and it wasn't hard, but basically through charting my wife's cycle, we were able to determine what was causing our miscarriages. They were able to give us, some supplements, some natural supplements, and boom, boom, boom. Now we've got 4 more little ones. My oldest Gemma is 8. And so I've got 5, 8 and under. And my most recent one, the one that you've experienced with me, Bear, Joseph Michael Heinen, my little baby, he's 3 months old. And it was a crisis pregnancy with him too, because my wife contracted a virus in utero. And so he wasn't growing. And so, blessed to be here.
4 months old now, or?
Just over 3 months. Yeah, exactly. Just a couple of weeks over 3 months.
How's Joseph doing?
Right. He's doing great. He cries all the time. No, but he's really good. And
did I just hear him cry in the distance?
You probably did.
Oh, that's
yes.
a beautiful sound. You know, my wife and I usually go to early mass, but she likes to go to the mid-morning masses because she likes to hear the babies cry. She loves that.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Oh, praise God. Yeah. That's beautiful. And it's great that they are there. I mean, it's exactly where we need to be. You know, I love my wife and I got, because of this whole coronavirus, got put in the front row of church one weekend. And we were both like, everybody can see us. But the kids did great. And we go to a church that everybody has, you know, 2 to 10 kids. So we go to a church with a lot of huge families. So no one's judging. It's a great church.
That's just so cool. I don't like the front row because, like, I know when to kneel and stand and everything, but when I'm in the front row, I can't remember it.
That's right. It all goes out the window.
It's so funny. There used to be this TV show called To Tell the Truth. I don't know if you remember. It was you can see the old, I watched it the other day, the 40-year-old show where they'd lie about what they did and who they are. And then they'd say, okay, will the real so-and-so please stand up? And you see him kind of stand and then sit and then stand and then kind of get up. That's the Catholic Church a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, because here in Hawaii, we don't stand at the same time as we do on the mainland. It changes. There's a slight change. So you'll see people kind of getting up and halfway down. And they're kind of like they're doing their CrossFit training right there at Mass. You know, we've been talking with John Heinen. He's someone that I've really grown to respect. He's one of the main people at Fusati that helps us with our social media outreach. So if you're finding us on Facebook or if you're finding us with our emails, that's John is behind all that. But I have him on my show because I've really grown to admire him. And so thank you for being our guest, John, on the Deep Adventure, Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Thanks for having me, Bear. Thanks for all that you're doing. You're a blessing to the church and to men's ministry and our ministry to men. And I'm so thankful for our friendship. So
we want to give a shout out to everybody. Please pray for us. Please pray for us that God's will would be done and that our personal relationship with Jesus would go deeper so that we can really hear his voice and do his will. Thanks. Everybody, till next time, go to our website, deepadventure.com, and subscribe to our newsletter because we got a new present for you. If you subscribe, you get the free audio book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, my latest book. But until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Aloha.
You've been listening to The Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to BearWozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at BearWozniak.com.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.